people that have been living in a larger body for so long have experienced the world in a way that they have been, just like we all have been in whatever body we have. But the world has been experiencing you the way that you are in that larger body. Once again, I hate to admit this, but this is how society is, right? Something I often hear my clients say is that they felt invisible in a larger body.
Wow.
Although they were taking up more space physically, they felt invisible. And now when they're losing weight, they're not feeling invisible anymore. People are opening the doors for them. People are being kinder to them. I have a client that experienced flirting for the first time. He was like, people are flirting with me. Like, this has never happened before. So things that you don't necessarily expect are happening. And that can be really difficult to adjust to, just like any change can be, you know, complicated and overwhelming and difficult to adjust at the beginning. But if you know it's going to happen, or if you have an idea that it's going to happen, you can at least try to be a little bit more prepared.
Hey everyone, it's Maria here, and welcome to another episode of Mom to Mom, the podcast. You guys, this is a topic that I find so interesting. I don't know if you have been following along with all of the talk about these new weight loss drugs that are available, and I've been very in tune with it, especially after the recent Oprah special where she really dug into this. So, you know, a lot of celebrities have come out and talked about these weight loss drugs and have admitted to using them, including Sharon Osbourne and Charles Barkley and Oprah herself. And as we know, Oprah has been the subject of scrutiny for basically her entire public life, and her weight has always been something that's been top of mind for her. And she felt so passionate about this topic that she did an entire special called Shame, Blame, and the Weight Loss Revolution. And I watched it and I was glued to the TV and I had so many questions afterwards. And that's kind of what today's episode is about. I knew exactly who I could talk to get some answers. So some of the things that had me thinking, listen, we know that the World Health Organization says that 1 billion people across the globe are struggling with obesity. So this is affecting so many people around us. So I wanted to know, how do we define obesity, right? What does that even mean? What toll does obesity take on a person, not just physically, but mentally and to the psyche? And how do all of these pretty much polarizing weight loss drugs fit into the conversation? We know there are definitely two schools of thought when it comes to these weight loss drugs. So someone who can help us understand all of this is Dr. Rachel Goldman. She's truly an expert in this area. You actually may remember Dr. Rachel from a previous Mom to Mom episode. We had a great one where we talked about goals and all that kind of stuff. She's a clinical psychologist out of New York, where she specializes in stress, health behavior change, disordered eating, and weight management. And she was actually called on by Oprah back in 2023 to help start the conversation around obesity publicly. So today we called on her to help answer some of these questions that we had and really do a deep dive into this topic. So here is my conversation with Dr. Rachel. Dr. Rachel, so good to see you. I know it's a busy day. You're like squeezing us in between patients. So I really appreciate that.
Of course. Thank you so much. And I just really appreciate us having this conversation. And I'm pleased to be here. So thank you.
You're such a wealth of knowledge and information. And last time you were here, we were talking about goal setting. But when I wanted to have this conversation about obesity and weight loss and struggles that people are having and the weight loss drugs, I mean, you were the first person I thought of. But for people who aren't familiar with the work you do, can you let everyone know how this is your area of expertise and sort of how you fell into that?
Sure. So, as you said, I specialize in a lot of different things, but my academic work and background in research has actually always been in the treatment of obesity, even starting as my dissertation when I looked at family eating environment related to children's health and predicting their health in the future. So my background is in this area. I had a clinical psychology internship in this at the Medical University of South Carolina, where I then stayed on to do research in this area in bariatric surgery, and then also worked at Bellevue Hospital for 5.5 years in their bariatric surgery department, doing the behavioral health part. So helping people prepare for surgery and how, and helping them with emotional eating, binge eating, things like that. Since I've been in my private practice, I still do a lot of this work. And, you know, my major societies that I'm a member of and our leadership of are in this field as well. So, so yeah, and that's why I'm here today to talk about this. And especially because, you know, there's not a lot that we're talking about in terms of the behavioral health aspect, yeah. Right? And I think that's so important, the changes, the psychological part, the emotional part. And that's why I'm so glad we're doing this.
And the conversation is definitely happening. And thanks in part to Oprah. A lot of us saw her most recent special that was on TV. It was great to see Oprah back on our TV sets again. Yes. But back in 2023, you were part of a broad conversation about obesity and weight loss and all of that with Oprah. Talk about what happened during that discussion and what it was like to get a call from Oprah. I'm still waiting.
What a great question. And I love that question because, and I love that this is mom to mom as well, because you're totally going to relate to what I'm about to say. I was actually on maternity leave, and I think the producers probably got my out of office that said that I was on maternity leave. Oh. And of course I was checking my email and I was like, oh, Oprah, I'm on maternity leave. Of course I'm going to come out of maternity leave for Oprah. So it was interesting to get an email from Oprah's producers on maternity leave. And yeah, it's funny because leading up to it, I was just saying this to my husband the other day, I think my mindset was so not there that day. I was thinking about the baby at home. I was literally like 4 weeks postpartum when we taped it. I was like pumping and breastfeeding. Oh, yeah. And my mind was in a completely different place. But it was an amazing experience, obviously, to be sitting on a stage right next to Oprah, having this conversation about something that I am so passionate about, and you know, being able to have that conversation on a larger platform with somebody like Oprah. So we did have that conversation. That's when it started, and it was different than the ABC special for people that didn't see it. Because, you know, there was more discussion about, you know, there was more time to talk about everything. And we did talk about things like food noise and the emotional aspect and the shaming from more of a psychological perspective as well, not just the medical
yes.
side of it.
Food noise. That different. Was a new concept to me. And I definitely want to get into that. But I want to go back a little bit and just, first of all, you did great on that episode. You would have never known. I watched it and you were flawless. You would have not known that you're doing all that. It's amazing what moms can do, you know?
It's
you're
so
pumping
true.
Behind the scenes. You're sitting with Oprah one moment later. You nailed it. But before we really dive into this conversation, I think it's important to define what obesity even is.
And it's a complicated question, actually, because it's confusing, right? So obesity is a disease, according to the American Medical Association, actually in 2013, they designated it as a disease. Now it's complicated because different people in the world think differently about this term, but obesity in general, the definition that we used to use was strictly related to BMI. And I think that's where it's really complicated because we know that BMI, body mass index, is not the best measure of anything, which is why this term, I think, is even more complicated today than it was years ago. We now know more, though. And obesity now is not only according to BMI. Really, we need to be looking at a whole person. And that's why it gets complicated. But if we just were to look at BMI, it would be a BMI of over 30. But really what we need to be looking at is the fact that having excess body fat can lead somebody to be at risk of other health conditions as well. So, you know, we need to look at the whole thing. Body fat within itself is not a disease, but being in a larger body, having excess body fat comes along with other changes. It's going to change the way that your body is doing things internally as well. And that can put people at risk for other health conditions as well.
And not everyone who's in a larger body is obese.
Right. And that's why it's so complicated, right? So you're absolutely correct. And that's why we have to be taking a holistic approach. It's advisable that people speak to their doctors about this if they've been struggling with their weight, if they're struggling with their health overall, to be considered, to like be assessed properly to know if you have the disease of obesity. So you're absolutely right. Not everybody in a larger body has obesity, just like not everybody in a smaller body is healthy,
right?
We don't know much at all strictly by looking at somebody's appearance. And I really hope that one day we can get away from that and start looking beyond that and being more curious about people and not just jumping to assumptions and judging people based off of appearance
because
we don't know.
Because society is so judgy, especially in this area. And I know that's some of the work that you're trying to do to try to get away from that. But the message that I got loud and clear from the episode that you did back in 2023 with Oprah and then the most recent one, I felt like she was really trying to nail home to us that obesity is a disease and to reframe really how we think about it. And she even gave the example of alcoholism, you know, how people would say, just put down the bottle. And with people who are obese saying, well, just stop eating so much, exercise more. And it really isn't cut and dry like that. So do you think the message is, do you think people are receiving this message?
So I think the people that have been struggling and that probably have the disease of obesity are receiving that message and feeling heard and getting their feelings validated and now seeing that these are treatment options that are available and maybe getting rid of some of that shame and that internalization of that, you know, internalized stigma. But I don't think everybody is getting that message because once again, I think, you know, this term obesity, it's a, you know, a loaded term, so to say, because it's not so clear cut. And just by looking at somebody, we don't know if they have that disease. So it is more complicated than that. And I think it's an important message, though, because it's allowing people to seek treatment. Because if you tell yourself, oh, this is a disease, there's a treatment options available, that's very different than what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Why can't I lose weight? Why can't I get healthy? I'm trying everything. It's just not working.
And a lot of times we treat disease with medicine, which brings us to the conversation of the weight loss drugs that are available. However, we got to take a quick break.
Hey, Mom Squad, wanted to let you know about our Hubbub newsletter. It's got recipes, things to do, all of our fun celebrity interviews from the Hub Today, lifestyle headlines, and more. All you have to do is head to nbc10boston.com/newsletters, and you'll get all the fun that we're having on the Hub Today delivered directly to your inbox.
And one of the things that was a newer concept for me was this idea of food noise. And food noise is something that affects people who are struggling with obesity so much. And for people who aren't, it's probably hard to understand. So can you explain about food noise?
Yeah, and I do want to add, though, that I think some people who don't have obesity also struggle with the food noise. I just had a client even earlier today, we were talking about it. And she also is experiencing the food noise. So I think, you know, it's important to just note that. But
yeah,
many
I was actually going to ask you about that because I was going to say, like, you know, there's a spectrum of eating disorders, disordered eating. And I was wondering if people on the other end of the spectrum, you know, people who limit their food also have, if you call it that, is it a blanket statement for like the just the noise in our head about what we're eating, what we're not eating, calories, blah.
I think so. I think what we're seeing is people that have had maybe a lifetime of dieting, right? Or a lot of restricting, we are seeing some of that food noise. Because what it really is that constant chatter in your brain or in your mind that's thinking, when's the next meal? Am I going to eat enough? You know, what am I going to eat? Did I eat enough? You know, all of this noise related to, you know, we can almost think of it as like an obsession with food. It could be about calories. It could be about what they're eating. It could be when they're eating, but it's constant noise and it's taking up space in somebody's brain. And I even think it's weighing on individuals that really have it because it's consuming their day. So yes, I think people are experiencing it that have been on diets or restricting in the past and or are struggling with obesity. And of course that could go for both also, but that's what it is. And we often hear that people on these anti-obesity medications are, it's quieting that noise. And I literally just had a client earlier today and she said, wow, I never realized I was thinking about food so much until I was on these medications. So it's taking that part away and it is impacting our brain in that way that it's sending these signals that that part of our brain is not working as hard in a way. And we can think of it also in terms of the reward center of our brain, but it's eliminating or quieting that food noise or that food chatter.
So in your opinion, as a clinical psychologist, is it possible to change the behavior without the medication? Is it possible to quiet that noise another way?
It is, and it's hard.
Yeah.
Right? So it absolutely is. And I think it goes back to that idea of if we look at this as a continuum or a spectrum, kind of how loud is that food noise and how long have you been having it for? Because as we know, our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors are all linked. But sometimes our behaviors or even our thoughts become so automatic, they're habits, right? So just like a habit that can be learned can be unlearned, and then we can learn new habits. The same goes with our thoughts. They can be learned. They become so automatic that we think them, but then it takes work to challenge them, to change them, and then we can create new thoughts. So it is absolutely possible with something like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, that I'm talking about with the thoughts, emotions, behaviors. But once again, it takes work. And it can be very difficult with the food noise because it's so loud. So what I'm often hearing is when people are on these medications and the food noise is quieter, we're actually able to do better and more of the cognitive behavioral therapy work because the constant chatter is not there. Mm-hmm. So we can work more on the behaviors, maybe because the thoughts are quieter. But once again, it is possible. We can work on the thoughts and that can impact the behaviors also.
And then if you were to get off of the weight loss medication, does the food noise just come rushing back in?
Probably.
Yeah.
Right. So I actually have a client that because of the shortage, she wasn't on the medication for a short time. And she did say, I noticed a big difference that food noise came back and some of the cravings did come back fairly quickly. And I think that's where it also reminds us that since obesity is a disease, we have to remember that it has to be managed for the rest of our life. So if people are going on these medications with this idea that they're going to now come off of it once they hit a certain weight, you know, that's not, it's not super realistic, right? If obesity is a disease and it has to be managed for the rest of our life, we have to do something about it for the rest of our life. Does it have to be the medication? Maybe, maybe not. Right. Maybe it could be lifestyle change and medication. Maybe it can be coming off the medication, seeing how they do with the lifestyle change, maybe going back on it. We don't know. And that's where, you know, we like to think of there's a lot of treatment options that are available. Sometimes one works, sometimes a combination of them work. I have clients who had bariatric surgery that then had weight recurrence and now are also on these medications. So we have to look at it like that in a similar way that if somebody's on a hypertensive medication and they come off of it, what's going to happen? Their blood pressure is going to go up again. So that's how we really need to be thinking about this, is that it has to be managed for the rest of your life. You may or may not be on the medication, but something has to be done.
Yeah. And what about the psychological impact that people who are living with obesity go through all the time, living in a larger body, and what that has done for their psyche and their confidence? And then on the other side of that, then maybe getting on one of these medications and quickly their body changes and then having to kind of reboot. Are you dealing with clients who are working with that?
So much of that, yes. And that's why I really like to recommend that if people are considering these medications, to see a behavioral health professional and a dietitian, to have a whole team approach ahead of time, because there are changes that are going to happen that you're not going to be prepared for. And there are things that you can be talking about and help yourself better prepare. We're never fully prepared for things until they happen, but to at least have an idea that this might happen and this is how I'm going to address it. Because people that have been living in a larger body for so long have experienced the world in a way that they have been, just like we all have been in whatever body we have. But the world has been experiencing you the way that you are in that larger body. Once again, I hate to admit this, but this is how society is, right? Something I often hear my clients say is that they felt invisible in a larger body.
Wow.
Although they were taking up more space physically, they felt invisible. And now when they're losing weight, they're not feeling invisible anymore. People are opening the doors for them. People are being kinder to them. I have a client that experienced flirting for the first time. He was like, people are flirting with me. Like, this has never happened before. Mm. So things that you don't necessarily expect are happening. And that can be really difficult to adjust to, just like any change can be, you know, complicated and overwhelming and difficult to adjust at the beginning. But if you know it's going to happen, or if you have an idea that it's going to happen, you can at least try to be a little bit more prepared. We're never fully prepared. But, you know, the shame, for instance, right? Like a lot of that judgment and shame, and then it becomes internalized. So people, you know, are also experiencing that of what it feels like to, you know, look different, feel different, go out and be treated differently. And it's sad if we think about it. But it's also a reality that people need to be prepared for.
That is such a complicated, probably, emotion for them to work through. To feel invisible, first of all, is heartbreaking. But then for all of a sudden people to be noticing, there's probably this little bit of excitement. But then on the other hand, like, really? Where have you been? You know, I've been here all along. Like, that's just a lot. And it happens so fast. Like, you see the weight loss is extreme, you know? So like you said, you kind of have to prepare because life changes quickly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's difficult. And it's difficult also because our brains don't necessarily catch up to that weight loss as fast as it's happening. So a lot of people also experience a type of body dysmorphia where they're looking at themselves and they're still seeing the person in the larger body, but they don't have that larger body anymore.
Yeah.
And that's also really confusing and can be difficult emotionally to deal with.
Hey, Mom Squad. Wanted to let you know about an initiative called Supporting Our Schools. The Boston stations of NBC and Telemundo are now supporting our schools year-round through the NBC Universal Donation Drive. It's a really cool program. From new technology to something as basic as pencils, there are schools all across our region that really lack the supplies that they need to provide our children with a quality education. So if you're interested in learning more, you can head to nbc10boston.com/supporting our schools. We've been talking a lot about obesity, and I want to just once again define that, because I know language is so important as we move forward talking about this topic.
Yes, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because language is so important in the words that we use. And obesity is a complex, multifactorial disease that is caused by multiple factors, including environmental, genetic, among many other things. And it's also a recurring disease, which I think is important to mention. And that's why it is a disease that has to be managed for the rest of your life. So that's really important. And we want to also use the term, or rather, person first language, right? A person with obesity.
Right.
So we're not defining an individual by their disease. It's not an obese person. It's a person with obesity.
Right. Just like you wouldn't say, cancer.
Right.
Cancer person.
Exactly. Yes. We're a whole person. There's a lot to us, and we're not defined by our disease. We're also not defined by our body,
I like that.
Our body, weight, shape, size,
et cetera. I'm always fascinated how language evolves, and most for good. So that's always great. And I hope I did okay with this whole conversation with that. And you can correct me if I make a mistake, because I always want to grow with the conversation.
Thank you, but you did great.
Because this is Mom to Mom, I want to talk about the kid aspect of all of this. And we are seeing a lot of young people who are struggling with their weight, struggling with obesity. I know this is a very big conversation with the few minutes we have left. How can we handle working with our kids?
Yeah, so I think first we have to remember that each individual, kids included, are individuals and have unique, you know, that they are unique individuals with their own health and their own goals and their medical history, et cetera. So I think for anybody that's considering one of these medications or a treatment for obesity, it's important to really be following up with your medical providers and see what's best for you. But I think in general, especially being, you know, mom to mom and thinking about what we can do with our children, our families, I think going back to that language, you know, being mindful of the words that we're using around our children is so important. Just like we all internalize messages that we hear all the time, children also do, but even to a larger degree and extent from their parents. So if you are saying something negative about your body, weight, shape, size, or health, your child is probably hearing that and internalizing it in a way because they look up to us. And so I would just say, be super mindful of trying not to participate in that diet talk, right? Trying not to label foods as good or bad. They're just, some are more nutritious than others, but we have to get away from some of that language. And I think that's a really good place that we can start as parents and as mothers.
Take it from me. I grew up in that 90s diet culture, and I'm trying to unremember a lot of that and trying to be better for my kids, for sure.
Yeah. And we can, like you said, like unremember, but we can unlearn, mm-hmm. right? We can learn, we can relearn, we can retrain our brains. And it really just starts with the words that we're using and the language we're using when we talk to others, but also when we talk to ourselves.
Yeah. Be kind to ourselves, put good things in our body, and the kids watch. They're watching every little thing we do. Okay. Dr. Rachel, thank you so much. All right, that's a wrap for this episode of Mom to Mom. And just a reminder, we talked a lot about medical things here. We talked about obesity. If you have any questions, obviously talk to your doctor, talk to your medical professionals. But thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you took something that you liked from this podcast. I definitely learned a lot. It was very eye-opening, and I really appreciated how we talked about language when it comes to talking about obesity, and how language is always evolving, and thinking about obesity as a disease, I think was also one of the big messages to take away. All right, so that does it for us today. There are plenty more episodes where this came from. In fact, there's another episode with Dr. Rachel that we did back in the day. So check out the entire library of Mom to Mom. Like it, share it with someone who would like it, and we'll see you here next time on Mom to Mom.